Well, happy Father's Day to all of our wonderful West Side fathers, and I hope it really is a happy and blessed day. Now, maybe you haven't done anything and you say, oh, it's too late to go out and get Dad something. Let me encourage you by saying this. Your dad will gladly accept a big hug of love and appreciation. Now, today I want us to study the love of our Heavenly Father and how wonderful it is to be able to call the God of the universe, think about that, our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe. And why can we call him our Heavenly Father? Because of what Jesus has done. You know, Jesus died the death we deserve. And he gave his life a ransom so that we might be redeemed out of the slave market of sin and become the adopted children of God. What an amazing story of love and how that love has been so personalized in us being the recipients of that love. I think of a verse when Pastor Zach quoted it earlier, we did as well, from 1 John chapter 3. John tells us in verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This morning I want to remind us of this love, this amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? By number one, reviewing what 1 John 3:1 tells us. I want to look at that verse, and we won't dwell on it long, but I think there are some things that we need to understand that John is telling us here. And then number two, our second point, what being a son of God means. I mean, what we have because, who we are because we are sons of God. And then our third point is, I want us to avoid spiritual amnesia. And then we'll close by what should be number four, our response to God's love. Our first point this morning is what the Apostle John says about how he was overwhelmed with the wonder that sinners, God haters, God rejecters, God deniers could become his children through grace. And thus he exclaims in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold. Now this word in the Greek is both a command and an exclamation that exhorts us readers to give close attention to what follows. And what is that which follows? Well, a testimony to God's love. Notice the statement, behold what manner of love. The Greek used here for what manner implies something great, something astonishing, something that is to be admired. John is telling us the love, the agape love, God's volitional love that he has of his own free and uninfluenced will bestowed on us is glorious, measureless love. What manner of love, John declares. When author writes, such love seeks at a great cost to itself, only to give freely and spontaneously for the benefit of another, even if that person is not worthy of such an expression. And that not being worthy certainly includes me. Me. Oh, how undeserving I know I am of this amazing, divine love. Now, how is this love manifested? Well, we find that answer in a number of verses. Let me just share a few with you. 1 John chapter 4, if you turn over one page, you'll see in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, in this John says, was manifested, was revealed the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then that famous verse in John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know that. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then that verse in Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then one more portion of Scripture in Titus chapter 3. We read beginning with verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Love equates to mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful, beautiful, divine way to describe how this love was manifested. Now, what is the Bible simply saying here about this bestowed love for us? Well, if I could capsule what we just read, that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, his unique one-of-a-kind Son, to die the death we as sinners deserved, so that God might redeem and transform us into the image of his Son, and thereafter call us sons and daughters of God. Think about this. God sent his Son to die the death you and I deserved, so that you and I might, through faith in him, become his children, adopted sons and daughters of God. He gave his Son so that we might become his sons, his daughters. Wow. Amazing love. I think of that verse in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become sons of God, even to them that believe. We simply just need to believe on his name. Now again, such love is really inexplicable in human terms. And so it really is not surprising then that the world doesn't understand, does not grasp or recognize the nature of this relationship between God and his children. And John tells us that at the second half of verse 3, where it says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And so what does the world call us? Well, amongst other names, it certainly calls us strangers, pilgrims. But let me just quickly add, even for us, who are the recipients of this love, who are now called sons and daughters of God, it's a challenge to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. We can only begin to understand such love, which causes our Heavenly Father to continue his good work in us until one day we are completely like him. Like Father, like Son. And I think if we're candid with one another, our Heavenly Father has to work pretty hard to mold us and shape us into the image of his dear son. Thank God he's not through with me yet. Amen? That he's still working on me. I think of David, whose perception of this fatherly love caused him to stack praise upon praise in declaring God's greatness and goodness so infinitely expressed in his love. He said of our Heavenly Father, Psalm 68:5, "A father of the fatherless is God in his holy habitation." In Psalm 89:26, we read, "He shall cry unto me." In other words, we shall cry unto God, saying, "Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." And then Psalm 103, verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And so again, John's words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Amazing love. Amen. Well, we come now to our second point, which is, what does it mean to be a son of God? To be the recipient of such amazing, unfathomable love. Well, let me give you an abridged list of what we are and what we have as God's children, as his sons and daughters. Number one, and I'm just going to go through these, so we'll not make really any comments, maybe one or two here or there, but we are now new creations in Christ. We know that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Number one, we are new creations in Christ. Number two, we are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to the world, slaves to the flesh. We can say no to sin. Rather, we are children of God, heirs of God through Christ. Galatians 4, 7, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Number three, we have been set free. Galatians 5, 1, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Number four, we are now blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we see this stated in Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Number five, we have now been given an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will." Number six, we have been made alive with Christ. Ephesians 2:4-5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Number seven, we are God's workmanship. We see that in Ephesians 2:10, "Wherefore we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Number eight, we now have boldness and confident access to God through faith in Christ. Ephesians 3:12, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him." Number nine, we have a new life which is righteous and holy. Ephesians 4:24, "In that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Number 10, we are now citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Number 11, we have the peace of God that rules our hearts and minds. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number 12, we now have divine strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Number 13, we now have a God who provides all of our needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number 14, we are now complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And again, this is all. And as I said, this is an abridged list. I mean, I could go on and on and on what we have and who we are because we are sons and daughters of God. But all of this and more is because God our Father loves us. Let that dawn on your heart that God loves me. He personally loves you and me. And thus we are called in 1 Thessalonians 1:4, beloved. And so in review, because we are our Heavenly Father's beloved children, we are new creations. We are no longer slaves. We are heirs with Christ. We have been set free. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have an eternal inheritance. We are alive. We are God's workmanship. We have bold access to God. We are righteous and holy. We have a home in heaven. We have God's peace. We have God's strength. And we are complete in Christ. I say, wow, that is quite a list of perks, amen? I mean, I hope there's maybe one advantage being a son or daughter of Robert Lane, but it's not very comprehensive compared to what we have and who we are when we can call God our loving Heavenly Father. Amazing benefits that are ours when we can call God Father. You know, it's really unbelievable. I mean, if you meditate even on two or three of these, that we have God's peace, we have God's strength, we have a home in heaven. You know, with all that's going on in this world, I am so glad this world is not my home, that I'm just passing through. I mean, if this was all that I had to hope in, I would be a miserable person. But all we are and all we have is God's beloved children. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. Everything wonderful, amazing, good, holy, and right is ours through the great love wherewith he has loved us. You know, I always am so grateful for those two verses in Matthew chapter, or actually they're three, chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then being evil, referring to dads, human dads, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them who ask him? What an amazing fact to know that God loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. Well, we come to our third point, and that is a lesson in spiritual amnesia. Because we often forget who we are. Because we repeatedly forget that we are God's children. And our Heavenly Father is watching over us with His banner of love. We too often give way to doubt and fear and timidity, especially when the world around us is on fire. And friends, the world right now is upside down. And what follows? Well, our amnesia makes us feel poor when, as God's children, we are rich. Our amnesia makes us feel foolish when, as God's children, our Heavenly Father is the omniscient one. And He says, when you lack wisdom, and we lack wisdom all the time, we can ask Him, and He promises that He will give us wisdom, and He'll do so liberally. He won't get after us when we ask. Our amnesia makes us feel weak when, in fact, as God's children, we are strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Our amnesia makes us feel that we are alone in this battle for truth when, as God's children, nothing can separate us from God's love. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, it seems like with so much going on right now, I don't know how you felt, but, you know, the tendency is, am I the only one who still loves America? Am I the only one who still cares about our heritage? Am I the only one who still wants to honor the flag? Am I the only one who still wants to stand up for religious freedom? Am I the only one that says, praise God for one nation under God, indivisible in liberty and justice for all? And you know, Satan like to tell us, yeah, you are. And who are you? Ladies and gentlemen, God is for us. He is for us. And you and God and me and God make a what? A majority. If God be for us, who can stand against us? You know, our amnesia makes us feel unloved when, in fact, as God's children, we are embraced with an everlasting love. So, children of God, spiritual amnesia, yes, it drains the very life out of our Christianity. And I believe I can truthfully say, and I've already testified, that a lot of us right now might be feeling pretty lifeless. And our Christianity is little more than a system of theological statements and rules. But please let us remember, God the Father loves us. Christianity is something very personal and very personalized. He gave Jesus His Son to redeem us, to purchase us from sin's slavery so that we might become again His adopted sons and daughters. And so as His children, when doubt and fear and faint-heartedness knock on our heart's door, we don't have to open it. Amen? Rather, we can remember who our Heavenly Father is, and that as His children, His sons, and His daughters, we have hope. You know, if you don't have hope, you don't make it. You die. But we have hope. We are the winning team. And what confidence this standing gives us, no matter what or who we are facing. And yes, we are currently experiencing many troubles in our country right now. You know, I feel in some ways like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we can say, I trust in God, as Dwayne so beautifully sang, I know he cares for me. On mountain ridge or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches what? Over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. You know, today, tomorrow, and every subsequent tomorrow, you and I are guaranteed that our Heavenly Father is watching over you and me. Well, we come to our last point. As God's sons and daughters, what is to be our response? Our Father's Day gift to such love. We talked at the outset of gifts that sons and daughters can give to their dads. But what's a good Father's Day gift to our Heavenly Father? Well, what about what Paul says? And I mean, this is a whole series of messages, okay? Recall what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, that speaks of God's love for us and what our response is to be to him. We are to be to the praise of his glory. Well, let me just try to capsule that by saying maybe one or two things this morning, okay? And I think of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 when he said this in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live, what? Long on the earth. Young people, when you honor and obey your earthly parents, you are honoring and obeying your heavenly Father. This truly is love answering our heavenly Father's love for us. And how can I, or why can I say that? It's because love obeys. Love obeys God's commandments. Love obeys the commandment to obey. Obey your parents. And as we do so, love seeks then to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Holy and without blemish before him in love. And so whether we are fathers here this morning or not, believers, we can celebrate Father's Day knowing the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us and making us through the gospel his beloved sons and daughters. What love. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? What did John tell us? 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. My encouragement, my challenge is to meditate on that. Grasp that as best you can. Say, Spirit of God, help that truth to live in me to the point that I will be an obedient son and daughter of God.